But more than anything, I'm glad he knows who I am. Amen. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me over to the book of John, chapter number 13. And I want to just share a few things with you that, again, that a few days ago I pondered over in my mind and ended up wanting to bring it to you here this evening. I want to just kindly just read basically just one verse of scripture. And it's a scripture that is encapsulated by all the other scriptures that's around it. But I'll walk through the other scriptures. But I wanted to talk to you about out of John chapter 13. Again, I want to go back and talk about these in detail as we work through this. Brother James, when I walked in this evening, I set my stage for the evening. And Brother James hit the nail on the head. He said, "We're going to talk about servanthood tonight." I said, "How did you know that?" Well, most of us could go home right now and get the message. But for the benefit of those that might not be able to, Jesus became our greatest example of servanthood throughout the scripture. The Bible reminds us that Jesus even himself said that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to be a servant. And they'll get me adjusted in a little bit. I'm hearing a little roaring back in these monitors, guys. And we can look at this, and we can look in verse number 16 when you look at that. And he says here in the word of the Lord, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." Stretch your hands this way and pray for me this evening. Father, I thank you. I thank you, God, that you have over and over and over showed us throughout the Word of God that Jesus is that suffering servant of Isaiah chapter 53. That we see that Jesus himself, as we look to the Scripture, that Jesus himself, Isaiah outlined exactly who Jesus would be and exactly what Jesus would have to go through in order to actually present himself as the servant of God. And we see this so many times throughout the scripture. So Father, I pray, God, that we would see him for who he truly is this evening. And that is our Lord and our Savior. Not to be served, but he come to be a servant for all. And Father, I thank you for that already. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. When we begin to look at the book of John, chapter number 13, probably most people in this room would actually know what this scripture is all about. It's right before Jesus was betrayed as he went towards the crucifixion. There was some events that took place here that must have been extremely painful for Jesus as he headed that way. One of those very issues that Jesus dealt with is mentioned here in this particular chapter. And it's a simple fact of Judas's betrayal of who Jesus actually was. And Judas, again, I'll get with it in a minute, Judas actually betrayed Jesus. We know that. I was looking through just some notes and commentary and just reading different things about this prior to coming out here. And I began to think to myself of how that Jesus just continued to be Jesus. No matter what was going on around him, no matter what he dealt with, he just continued to be who God wanted him to be while he was here on the earth. We look at the life of Jesus and we can certainly see that a few things that took place in Jesus' life. Again, I'm not going to hit every point that's in this particular lesson this evening or this particular scripture. But something that I really picked up on, because we're living in that day and hour, it seems like that you can really have a difficult time putting your trust and your confidence in anybody anymore, because most people are concerned and afraid of being betrayed, even by close friends. Jesus was there, and Jesus had 12 disciples. And Jesus even knew that Judas was among the 12. But yet Jesus knew that all the way through this, that eventually he would be betrayed by this man by the name of Judas. One of the things that I really picked up on as I was reading some commentary and different things is that this is what commentary said. It said that Jesus, in his concluding part of John chapter number 13, right before he was led forward to go to the crucifixion, this was his final proof of his steadfast love for the Father and for humanity. That his love was steadfast. Another thing was simply this, that it was the example or his example of his humility and his service to all of those that was there. When you begin to look in John chapter 13, there's several different places there that it actually talked about Judas and how the Bible reminded us even then that there would be one that would be eating the bread with him, that he was going to raise up his heel against him. Jesus knew that he would be betrayed. But yet here's the thing I want us to see this evening, that even in Jesus' betrayal, this is very important, that Jesus continued to be a servant. You and I this evening, as we think about the scriptures, we think about our responsibility to the gospel today. That we can think about this, and you can look at the scripture and understand that Jesus modeled a steadfast humility even in the midst of his betrayal. Not only that, there was a man that was there that day. His name was Peter Iscariot. Peter Iscariot. Lord, help me, Jesus, to be anointed tonight. His name was Peter, as well as the one who was named Iscariot. We'll get it in a minute. And we can see that not only did Judas Iscariot betray Jesus, Simon Peter betrayed Jesus. He denied him. Jesus even, that was a good one, wasn't it? That'll go down in history. And we can see of how that, we can see that how that Jesus told Peter, here I am trying to be serious and all of a sudden I want to be silly, you know? I can't do that right now. But we can see of how that Jesus told Peter, hey, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me, and even in your denial, I'm still going to serve you. Even in the fact that you're going to hear the rooster crow and you're, everything's going to happen just exactly what is going to happen. I've already told you what's going to happen. So we see that Judas Iscariot, I hope I got that right this time, he betrayed him with a kiss. You know that. So Peter denied him. So you got a betrayer in your mix. You've got a denier in your midst. And then the Bible said, when Jesus was left alone, when the heat really, really got to the situation, that all of his disciples, read this in Matthew 28, the latter part, right before the Great Commission, the Bible said that many of them doubted and followed him no more. But yet one of the things that I thought about is even though Jesus knew that Jesus would be betrayed, he just kept being a servant. Even though Jesus knew that he would be denied, he would just kept being a servant. Even though that Jesus knew that all these other people would depart from him at the very end and leave him alone there wherever he was at during that time, Jesus just kept on being Jesus. So when we think about this evening, there are several things that came to my mind. First of all, we look at the scripture where that we see that Jesus, when this particular scripture was written in verse number 1, it was there before the Passover, the feast of on the Day of Atonement, if you will. And we think about that from the Old Testament into the New Testament. And Jesus knew that it was time, his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world and unto the Father. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. The Bible says no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And then I think about Jesus, where Jesus was saying how that no man taketh his life, but he voluntarily laid his life down. how that Jesus said, and again in the scripture, that He is the good shepherd and He gives His life for the sheep. I don't know how that hit you tonight, but when I was reading through this, I was thinking the greatest sacrifice that Jesus ever did, oh yes, was the cross. Yes, giving His life. Yes, the resurrection. But here's the thing, that He was willing. He was willing to become that suffering servant of Isaiah chapter 53. We're not going to turn there and read that right now. But Jesus became that person. We see that He displayed great servanthood and great humility. Philippians chapter 2, and we will turn there really quick. Philippians chapter 2, this is what the Word of God says there when you look in verse number 6. He says, "In the Word, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Look in verse number 7. "And made himself of no reputation, but He took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men." I don't know how that strikes you this evening, but you think about John 1:14. You don't need to turn there, but you think about John 1:14, where the Word of God became flesh and He dwelt among us. I'm talking about the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Oh, the King of glory coming down and simply taking on the fashioning Himself and formed after man, that He became a willing servant to man. He suffered for you. He gave His life for you. He gave His life for me. And then the Bible again, when you look at that, He didn't make no boast. He didn't make no brag. But He took upon Himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Look in verse number 8. It says, "And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death." He humbled Himself. Now, I don't want to get the cart ahead of the horse, because I got this later. I want to mention it later in the scripture as well, in the service as well. But the Bible says He humbled Himself. Humility is not a sign of weakness. Somebody told my wife one time years ago, she didn't tell me, she told my wife, said, Your husband is weak. Just because you don't know how I operate, that don't mean that I'm weak. Because meekness is power under control. Hello, somebody. But meekness, when we think about meekness, Jesus modeled that meekness in front of us. It's not always the loudest person that's the strongest person in the room. The Bible says here in the scripture that He humbled Himself and became obedient to the death, even the death of the cross. He humbled Himself. Now let's talk about that for about an hour and 38 minutes. Just kidding. He humbled Himself. So what did Jesus do? Now this is what Philippians says, even to the death of the cross. Verse number 9, and let me look at that real quick as well. Verse number 9 says, "Wherefore God hath exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Then that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." But you think about the humility of Christ this evening. Jesus, again, modeled this great humility, this great act of humility. We see this as Jesus opened up this in our text this evening. And at supper, ending supper, the devil had already been put into the heart of Peter Iscariot, Simon's son. Done that on purpose that time, see if he was awake. Some of you didn't even get it. He said, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him. The devil had already been put into the heart of Judas for the purpose of betrayal. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. It's hard to stay humble during betrayal. Are you with me? But Jesus stayed on the course. Jesus stayed humble to fulfill the plan that God had for His life. Do you not know that Jesus could have just went and buzzed Judas Iscariot, and it went up in a puff of smoke. Poof. do me that way again and you'll be the next one. You know what I mean? Aren't you glad God don't zap us? Now I'm going to keep you awake tonight. Y'all awake? I'm glad God don't operate like that. I'm glad that God is, the Bible talks about God's, His mercy endures forever. I'm glad God has mercy. I'm glad that when you have failed God and when you have faltered along the journey, that God didn't just go and take you out and take me out. And the Bible, we look at this in the scriptures, we look back at our text this evening where the Bible reminds us of how that Judas had already betrayed him. Now look at this. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, Jesus had already got all the power of the Father into his hand, that he was come from God and went to God. Now watch this. Jesus was not confused about who he was. Jesus knew that all it would take at when Judas came and Judas led them to after he was betrayed with a kiss. He said, "Do you not know that I could call more than, what does it say, 4 legions of angels or something like that?" I didn't read it prior to the service because I didn't think of it. 12 legions, whatever. But whatever he said there, he said, "Do you not know that I could just call angels to my aid right now?" I didn't even think about that when I was studying this. All power is in his hands. All power. He came from God and he'll go back to God. He said, "I've got all the power I need right here." Could you imagine that? Some people say people let power go to their head, right? And it does. If it's power that, if that's what people's looking for, is power. Jesus wasn't looking for power. He's already the omnipresent God. He's already the all-powerful God, the omnipotent God. He didn't have to look for power. See, they wasn't ready for that. They wasn't ready for somebody to come on the scene who was willing to be a servant, who was willing to humble themselves. And see, that's where the world today gets very confused about the church. Because they're not used to somebody that loves them while they're being cussed out. Hello, somebody. They're not used to somebody that shows humility even in the middle of a hostile situation. The world don't know how to do that. The world don't know how to handle that. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. The world don't know how to handle stuff like that. But that is the model that Jesus modeled to you and to me. We see that later in John 13. It's not a part of this particular lesson. But he does say that in the latter part of John 13. "By all this shall all men know that you are my disciples by your love one to another." The world wants to fight. The world wants to grumble. The world wants to take you out. The world wants to have power. The world wants to be the last one to get the last word. But God, through Jesus, showed you and I, hey, the way up is down. Humble yourself before God. According to the book of James, if you'll humble yourself before God, in due time, God will lift you up. Let God lift you up. Let God be the one to exalt you. And we look this in the scripture, we see this again, where Jesus' humility was on display during his suffering. The Bible said there again, when you look at that, he loved his own and he loved them to the end. To me, that's awesome that Jesus loved them to the very, very end. Knowing that he was going to go through all the things that he went through, knowing that he went through all the pain, knowing that he went through all the suffering. Somebody says, "Well, God's more than just love." I'm going to tell you something, friend. God is justice and God is also judgment. But God is going to do everything he can do to woo you and to draw you with his everlasting love way far before the wrath of God. I believe in the wrath of God. I believe in the judgment of God. I believe there's a place called hell. I believe in all of that. But I also know that God's going to do everything he can to try to woo you and draw you to his side far before that'll ever happen. That's my opinion. I think it's Bible too, to be honest with you. But this is what Jesus said. So Jesus, first of all, he showed us his steadfast love. Number two was, that he showed an example of his humility. When the world looks at you, when the world looks at me, what do they really see? What do they really see when the world looks at the church today? We see this again, how that Jesus in verse number 4, he riseth up from supper and laid aside his garments. Now, what does that mean? He laid aside his garments. Now, I don't know what Jesus had on at that time, but it is symbolic of Jesus laying aside his priestly garments, Jesus laying aside his royalty at that time, Jesus laying aside the simple fact that he was God in the flesh, and he humbled himself. The Bible said he laid aside the garment and took a towel and he girded himself. In other words, he prepared himself. He knew what he was doing. He prepared himself to be a servant. We all like to be served, don't we? Somebody shake your little head, yes. We all like somebody to do something for us. But not many people are standing in line and saying, ooh, use me. Let me be, pick me. When I was in school, and I know most of you have heard this story before, I was lousy at sports. Horrible. Played sports a little bit, except football. I played it for a while, but I didn't know that much. Still don't know nothing about basketball. Not interested. Couldn't tell you the first thing about basketball. All I know is they shoot for that hoop, and there's a guard, and that's all I know. I don't know nothing else about basketball. I've never watched a full basketball game in my life. I've never watched a full football game in my life, maybe one or two times. I've never watched a full baseball game in my life, so I don't know that much about sports. And I think that comes from the fact that I wasn't no good at it. Really, I really wasn't no good at it. But I tell you what, I can shoot a squirrel's eye out from probably about 50 yards. I was really good at doing things outside, sports things, stuff like that. I can shoot clays and I can pop them. I mean, I do all that outdoor stuff, but I can't do football. When I was a kid, Brother Kane, and they was lining up everybody and picking teams. Brother Scott, I always felt bad because I always stood in the back, and I knew nobody was going to pick me. I knew it. I mean, you know what? I'd drop a water bottle if I was the water boy on a baseball team. I would. I just wasn't my thing. I don't know why, but it just didn't click with me. You know, it hurt as a kid always being the one that wasn't picked. You know what I mean? And I think that sort of spills over into our adulthood some way or somehow. Oh, by the way, I don't have flashbacks from my childhood, and I'm certainly not over. I mean, I'm certainly way over that a long time ago. But I'm just simply saying, why would you leave the splendor of glory to come down, humble yourself, and be a model for everybody else to follow? And that's what Jesus did. Jesus left the splendor of glory to come down just to simply serve humanity. We see that in the scripture as we look at this, and we can see how he rises up from supper and he laid aside his garment and he took a towel. Commentary talked about when he took a towel, it actually, and you can look at this all throughout the Old Testament, and he girded himself and he poured water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet. Now, just when you think about that, it's one of those things when you begin to wash the disciples' feet, when he humbled himself in the Old Testament leading into the New Testament, that it was only the servants, the hired servants during that day, that was hired, dusty trails, where they walked on dusty roads, they wore flip-flops, if you will, they wore sandals, if you will, not flip-flops, but sandals, and their feet would get dirty, and their feet would, one of the first things they would do when they come into somebody's home is the hired servants would come, and they would begin to wash the people's feet. It was known as a servant's job. It was known as the lowest of all jobs. And Jesus, again, we look at this text over in Philippians, he took upon himself no form, but we look at this where Jesus did not say, look at me, look who I am. But Jesus modeled this during this scripture in John chapter number 13. So where did we get to with this? I look at it like this. You know, there's a good pride and a wrong type of pride. Everybody needs a pride in themselves. We hear voices in the church. I don't think it's God. I honestly don't think it's God. I think it's a cell phone going off. But y'all online can't hear that. But I don't think that God, I don't think that Jesus was boastful in himself. But he took on it the form of a servant. When we think about that, first of all, I think about pride. I think about there's a good pride and there's a bad pride. The good pride is you get out of bed in the mornings or whenever and you take a bath, you clean yourself up, you take interest in your self complexion, you take interest in your self being, if you will, and that's a good kind of pride. But when you think that you're any better than anybody else, that's a bad pride. That's a bad thing, to be egotistical in the fact that you're here and somebody else is here. And see, that's one of the things that I've got to understand in myself. That Jesus, even though that Jesus was the servant of God, he humbled himself. You see, I didn't actually put the women in one room tonight and put the men in another room tonight and actually physically have a physical foot washing. Now, we do believe in the physical foot washing in the church of God. It's been a long time since we practiced that, and if I would tell people we're having a foot washing, people would stay home. Hello? Did my microphone just go off, Brother Chris? Because people are saying, ain't touching nobody's dirty feet. People say, I don't do feet. Hello? You know the preacher's telling the truth. People say, I don't do feet. Somebody says, oh, glory to God. I just want to be all that Jesus will have me. Oh, glory to God. I just want to be like Jesus. Come on up here. We'll have a good foot washing right here tonight. See, we back up on that, don't we? Come on, somebody. I believe in foot washing. I'll wash anybody's feet in this place. I don't care. I don't care if you got long toenails. I don't care if you got gum under your toenails. I don't care. But everybody ain't me, and everybody don't feel that way. Somebody said, hey, I might get COVID if I do a foot washing. I don't want to do no foot washing stuff. Okay. The point of this whole thing is that Jesus humbled himself. I've had people, Brother Chris, and others say, I don't do feet. Well, that's Church of God teaches that. It's what we believed. I mean, they done it in the Old. They done it in the New Testament. But let's get the point. The point's not you messing with my feet. I reckon I got clean feet. I washed them good this morning. Daryl said, "What are y'all dressed up for today?" Well, I had this on this morning. Hey, y'all think I sleep in this suit, don't you? Mow the yard in it, you know? No, I don't. I know. I didn't even take a nap today. I just sort of read and studied and thought, and here I am. But it ain't a point of actually, I mean, it is a point of actually physically doing the foot washing. But more than anything, it's us knowing that we're no better than anybody else. It's not a matter of actually touching Brother Cain's toes. Come on, somebody. Even though we believe in that. Or Brother Hall. It ain't a matter of doing. It's a matter of knowing that we're equal. We are equal together. Jesus modeled that. Now, I know there's some people that's going to say, well, preacher, you needed to just go right on ahead and have that foot washing service regardless of whether people come or whether they don't come. Well, those that just said just right, I'm going to meet you after church. And we're going to wash some feet together. We'll go to the fellowship hall and we'll make it happen. I'm just picking on you now. But you get my point. If we're going to be together, we're going to love together, we're going to grow together. Jesus said, Judas is there. Even though Judas is there and even though Judas has already betrayed me, guess what Jesus said? I'm just going to keep on doing what God sent me here to do. I'm just going to keep on serving God. I'm going to keep on serving my Father. Again, when you think about this, we've got to lose the pride in our own heart in order to become the servant that God would have us to be. Yes, it's literal, but yet it's symbolic as well. Even though Judas was there, he was a fake disciple, but not all. We knew that Jesus had said that. When we look into the scripture, I'm not trying to really focus a whole lot of time on Judas this evening, but we can see that in John chapter 6, verses 70 and 71, where that Jesus actually said, I have chosen 12. And he said, but all of you are not clean. He actually mentioned that. We see in Mark 14, you don't need to turn there, Kathy, to all of these, but we can see that where that Judas actually betrayed Jesus in Mark 14, and then at that time, he gave them symbolically a kiss of Jesus on the cheek. And at that time, all the Roman soldiers came and they captured and they took Jesus. The last thing that I believe that I can see in this text this evening is that we can see not only that the loss of pride and the evidence of humility in Jesus' life, there's freedom. There is a freedom when we find the liberty to serve one another as Jesus served them, as Jesus taught us. Again, when you look at this, the Bible says about Peter, and I got ahead of myself there a little bit here. He said that here in verse number 6, and cometh Simon Peter, and Peter said unto the Lord, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? In other words, are you going to wash my feet too, Lord? And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter, after the cross. Because these disciples knew later in their life. You know the New Testament, we look at it. Man, they went through a lot. They knew if they were truly going to be the New Testament church, under fire, under persecution, under denial, under everything that Jesus went through, Jesus said that they would have to pick up their cross and follow him. Hey, guess what? Sometimes life is hard. Sometimes life is bitter. Sometimes life really bites, to be honest with you. But we got to keep on being who God has called us to be. And in this, we can see that freedom comes in serving those around us. And it happens when we serve out of a pure heart. Peter saith unto him, again, thou shalt never wash my feet. I don't know what was really going through Peter's mind at that time, but maybe Peter had already had the revelation of the simple fact that he was the Son of God. Maybe it's a pride thing with Peter. You ain't touching me. You ain't washing my feet. Whatever the case may be. And then Jesus explained that and he told him, and if I wash thee not, you have no part with me. Commentary talked about that there's a spiritual cleansing. There's a spiritual washing. How many of you know that the Bible says that those that are in darkness, they're blinded from the light? John 1, you can go over there and read that sometimes. They don't see. I mentioned it this morning. They don't see how you see. They don't see what I see. They don't see even why we would spend the time to come to church and do the things that we do as we worship God together. They don't understand that. It boggles their mind. And I'm not against ball games. Y'all know that. I ain't against ball games, and I'm not against the Carolina Panthers, and I'm not against none of that stuff. But, you know, 60,000 people will go down to a stadium and scream their brains out over a pigskin football and this team and that team. But, my friend, how much more should we be praising and glorifying God? I'm not against those things. I don't think going to a ball game is going to send you to hell. I don't think playing on a baseball team for the little boys is going to send you to hell. I don't believe in stuff like that at all. But I do believe if you put something in front of God and it becomes a God to you, that you're in danger of losing out with what victory you could have in Him. Amen? Because the Bible says if we talk about servanthood, you really can't put anything before God. Because Matthew, I'm not going to turn there, and I looked it up, but I'm not going to turn there right now. But he says there in the book of Matthew, he says that no man can serve two masters. He said either he will love the one and hate the other, despise the other, or he will reject. One is going to be rejected. And you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve this world and say that you're serving God at the same time. We can't, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. I think it's 1 John 4:4 that says that. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. So we ask ourselves this question this evening. Have we humbled ourselves? Are we serving God with a pure heart? Are we loving God the way that Jesus modeled that in front of us? The last thing is have we found the real freedom in serving Him? There's freedom in Christ. Jesus was trying to teach that to Peter. He said, and Simon Peter says, this is in verse number nine, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, and when Jesus told him this, he said, hey, not my feet only, but my hands and Peter and my head. Peter wanted to make sure, hey, I'm not going to miss out on this. Hey, I'll let you, I want to be all in. Are you with me? And Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean everywith. And you are clean, but not all of you. He knew that Judas was there. And then we see this as Jesus kind of wraps this up in the latter part of this message. As he basically exposes Judas Iscariot. So after he had washed their feet, he had taken the garments and was set down again. And he said unto them, know ye what I have done? This is awesome. Know ye what I've done? Now, you got to put yourself in the context of that scripture. Because to them, here's the Jesus, the Messiah, coming and washing the feet of the people. I mean, taking on this very low job, if you will. And you look at this in the scripture, and he says this, and he, do you know what I have done? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet. That's what it says. Right? If I have, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. That foot washing service is sounding better every minute, ain't it? You wash people's feet. Physically, yes. But I wash feet by being good to you. Are you with me? I wash feet by serving you. I wash feet by loving you. I wash feet by doing for you the Christian service that I should be doing not only to you, but to all the communities around me. Hello. So, again, there's a literal interpretation of this, but there's also a symbolic interpretation of this. Because Jesus came back in verse number 15 and he says this. And this is where it gets physical. This is where it really does get to physical. And he says in the scripture, for I have given you an example. Somebody says, well, how much plainer can that get? It can't get much plainer than that. He said, I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that sent greater than he that sent him. Look again at verse number 15. For I have given you an example that you should do it. 16 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Look in verse 17. This is the greatest one of all. We all ought to be ready to do a foot washing right here tonight in this service. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I speak not of you all, again talking about Judas, I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. That's a fulfillment of the book of Psalms. I wrote that down somewhere. Psalm 41 and 9, we don't need to turn there. Now I tell you before it come that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. So Jesus again says, happy are you if you do this. You know, if we humble ourselves as God would have us to humble ourselves, if we serve God with a pure heart, we don't have no regret at the end of the day. If we're obedient to him, if we love one another, as Jesus has said that we are to love one another. Judas washed feet. Judas was there on that occasion. Judas was a part of them as far as a cluster of individuals. But his heart was way, way far from what God wanted him to be. So that is where Jesus said the greatest example is that you love one another even as I have loved you. Jesus became that servant to serve humanity. That's who we are. That's what he's called the church to be. Wouldn't it be nice if we really did believe that poster right back there on that back wall? How many people has taken the time to read that? Anybody at all? That was Sherry's desire to have that. If we just take the time to read that, I think it would make a difference in your own projection of who Jesus said he was in the scripture. And what we can say we want to become as the body of Christ. Now don't get mad at the preachers, too late in the service for that. We are so accustomed to doing things the same way every time we come, day in, day out, service in, service out. Right? It would be absolutely phenomenal if we started looking for opportunities to wash feet. Chris, I'm going to brag on you. I don't know where he went. How you doing back there? Chris communicated with the school about helping somebody, a family, at Christmas time. You would not believe what you people did to step up. This family has no idea where this stuff come from. You helped a 15-year-old, 11-year-old, and a 9, a 3-year-old. You helped a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 15-year-old. I think I'm getting it right. Don't matter. You made somebody's Christmas happen. Big time. Big time. But what if we formulated concepts and ideas? You say, well, preacher, it's going to cost us all of our money. It's not your money. If it's your money, keep it in your pocket. You and God work it out. It's God's money. We're stewards. You want me to take it a little further? Your body is not your own. It's not your body. It's His body. The church, yes, I'm talking about your physical body. The Bible says you've been bought with a price. You're not your own. God's only given you a stewardship of what you do with your body. That's why these people that blow their chest up and say, well, God, I'll just do whatever I want to do. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. That's the attitude you get out there in the world. It's not your body. God's given you your body to do with your body what He wants you to do with it, to glorify Him. Magnify Him. Well, let me quit meddling. I had this service over in my mind 15 minutes ago. Look in Galatians chapter number 13, and I think I'm done. I'll let her put it up there. Galatians chapter 5 and 13. We've been in Galatians twice today. Look what he says here in the Word. She'll get it. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not that liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. Serve one another. You may not physically be coming and washing feet. You can, and I'm all in. We'll prepare for that. I'm all in. I really am. I don't care. I mean, I'm really all in on that. But the greatest thing that Jesus tried to model was, when you go out into this world that's dark, you're my body. You're my church. Go out and make a difference. Be who I've called you to be. Love one another. Serve one another. Do it out of a pure heart. Do it out of obedience. And love Him. Let's stand together. Jesus, we love you tonight. And Jesus, we praise you and we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, that on this night, you called us to be your servants. Jesus, you modeled that throughout the Word of God. That, Lord, we ought to do as you've done. God, we may at this service and this particular night, at this particular time, we may not be physically going and doing a foot washing. But God, in our minds and in our hearts, we can commit ourselves to your way of serving you. To say, Lord, as Jesus has humbled himself and Jesus become
a servant. Lord, I commit my ways to you. Let me be your hands. Let me be your feet. Let me be your mouthpiece. Let me be the model. Let me be the example. Let me be the person, God, as I go out into a hostile world, that you would have me to be, that somebody might see Jesus in me and through me. And as Jesus, after supper, he rose up from supper, he girded himself, and he prepared himself for the journey ahead. Father, we're still on this journey. We're not there yet. We're not home yet. So God, let us gird ourselves as we leave this room tonight to go out into the highways and the byways and compel folks to come in and to be the people that you would have us to be. And Lord, we love you and we thank you.